Okay. So I want to give an example in a short talk now about one aspect of gender that we can feel is touching us as practitioners. And that is the gender in the world of Buddhism, the gender in the world of Dharma practice. We can take this in many, many other places, but I just want to give an example of some of us feel, well, the Dharma really should be a kind of an island of where this isn't a problem, but it's not true. So I want to go, in a way, to the heart of our precious spiritual life and say, gum shum, we have to pay attention to these issues. As an example of the pain of identity, of conditioning, of selfing that gets to the heart, including the Buddha. So before I talk about the Buddha, I'm reminded of this every time I go to my chickens. Because how is it that one male, Tanigol, I have 20 chickens, Tanigolet, Tanigolot, and one male is the boss. They do everything he says. Where did that come from? Why? Every time, kol pam shani, kol boke ani itam. Echa gever ze imad zanava gadol vashlita al mi mokabeleta ochel kodem. Who's getting the right food? Who's getting the best food? Where? So it's not just human beings. But the Buddhist culture is very male. And it's painful. Patriarchy is painful. And it hasn't always been there. But by the time the Buddha arrived in Indian culture, it was already there. Really built into Indian culture. And all the control of Indian spirituality at that time was the Brahmins, and until today. And the Brahmins, males, in a way, controlled the spiritual hierarchies. So when the Buddha came along, he broke nearly everything, but he couldn't break this. And he was asked, why not have women in the Sangha? In the early Buddhist Sangha were males. And he was asked, what about the women? And he resisted. And then he was asked, but wait a minute, can't a woman be enlightened? And you get the feeling from the text. Okay. Basograim, we don't know when the texts were written, and we don't know who wrote them. Okay, so we have to take that into account. But you got the feeling from the text that he said, well, I suppose so. That's the kind of tone. I don't know if you know. Oh, well, I guess that women can be enlightened also. So they said to him, his monks, well, in that case, they should be part of the Sangha. And he said, you're right. And from then on, they were. But he also said, because we have women in the Sangha, the Dharma will not last so long in its pure form. Something there will forekoto. So I'm not defending or... But today in the Theravada world, it's a big, big issue. In the whole Buddhist world, it's a really big issue. It's a stormy issue. Issues of nuns not being ordained as bhikkhus. Issues where a nun that has been practicing 20, 30 years has to sit behind someone that's just come, a new boy, 19 years old, wearing white as a kind of a beginner, and the nuns in the monasteries sit behind and get lunch later. And that's in the Theravada traditional world, which is Cambodia, Thailand, and Burma and so on, Sri Lanka. And it's still there, although I would say it's being pushed, but it's still there. In the Tibetan world also, Tibetan lamas, males. And the kind of issues that are really built into the Tibetan society, that women are second in the Buddhist teaching role as teachers. Although thankfully in the Tibetan world, we have amazing power of the female energy. So as soon as you go into real deep Tibetan spirituality, then it's not there. This also real yogis, Tibetan yogis that are not part of religious hierarchy, they women and men equally, it makes no difference. And the goddesses in Tibetan world have so much power. And the female energy there on that level is really, they're very strong inside the Tibetan world. But it's universal in spiritual religious life. The more religious it gets, the more patriarchy is dominant. I remember, I don't know if you were there, but just recently I was asked to do an evening on Zoom on the issue of abortion through the mindfulness of Michal Goral. So we had a whole evening on abortion, and which is interesting. And of course I was expressing a Dharma view, and I won't go into that now, but there was a rabbi that spoke. And he was showing that in the Talmud, the health of women, and women have a right, in a way, to have more say. They need to be protected, and that is in the Talmud. So he was saying that the Talmud is quite liberal about abortion. But I was thinking, but all the people talking about women in the Talmud are men. of what it, women can be and cannot be, and okay, protecting women's rights, but somehow it's the men doing that. I didn't want to say anything, but I just felt it's so deep in the culture, and there has been a big storm recently about this in the Buddhist world. And the Dalai Lama, I saw him crying tears because he said, I have not enough power to change thousands of years of history. Never mind, all the power I have cannot change something so rooted. And he cried. But because he was the Dalai Lama, after that, the sun came out and he was happy. But he was crying. And there are movements when I was in Amaravati Monastery in England for some visits. I was never a monk, but I visited. And I asked Ajahn Amaro, who's the head of the monastery there, how do you deal with this? He said, look, I can't do a radical revolution because that would be the end of my role as the head of the biggest monastery, really, in the West. The whole system would throw me out. I mean, Thailand system, including the money to allow the monastery, it would finish. He said, but what I've decided to do is not control. So I will not say to anyone that wants to break that system that they shouldn't. Let them do it. And I was watching this happening where groups of female nuns just went to the head of the queue to get the lunch first, and all the males moved to give them space to do that. So they broke the rules very clearly, very obviously, and that was in front of 100 Thailand visitors from British Thais. So that was his compromise, but I'm just going to say it as showing how problematic the whole thing is. And the path, but there's something quite male also about the path itself. The Buddha left his wife. Just after the marriage and there is a lot in the Buddhist tradition that emphasizes, you know, you could say almost testosterone. The striving, the heroic practice, the male community, there's a lot there that's achieving. And the female energy keeps moving in different ways. And if you watch for it, you'll see it there in the text, in the practice, and in the tradition. Like there's a Thai tradition that says, when the Buddha entered into enlightenment after 6 years of practice, that's when his wife had a child. So, like, she was practicing in a way to give birth, and he was giving birth to awakening, and she was giving birth to the child. And they happened at the same moment, at the same time. So something different, but something the same happening. Thankfully, our practice today is out of that. I think it's one of the beautiful things of Dharma in the Western world, that we just stopped it. There isn't anything. I'd be happy if we make a mistake there and you still see patriarchy, tell us. Because we're not interested. None of the male teachers want it. Nobody wants it. And the Western Dharma, should we say, not 100%, but the Western Dharma has really done a cleaning, a revolution of the patriarchy. And it's partly also about practice rather than religion. And it's why I'm quite careful in Tovana, stepping back from orthodoxy, or when there's a tendency to turn what we're doing here a bit into religion. This is the kind of nature of people do it, you know, fair enough. holding on to things. This is really, really, you know, should be. This should be, and then you get from there orthodoxy. And I think we're in a place of holiday right now because they're nofesh in the growth of Dharma practice in the Western world, where we're free of orthodoxy and free of religious Buddhism. I'm trying to keep it that way. Efo peso shala Buddha po bacheda. Efo, there isn't one. Stay that way. A white wall is great. Who needs more than that? So I'm saying that we're in a place in the Western Dharma that it's only been 60 years. Achare, 2,500 years, we've been 60 years of practice coming into the West. And it's coming clean. And one of the things revolution is taking the patriarchy away, where almost completely. And it's never there in the deep spirituality, in that even in the texts of 2,500 years ago, the closer they get to real spiritual practice, then that it goes. The difference between this person, that person, male, female, it dissolves. The spiritual life is not going to be there, because it's way beyond who we are as an identity, and way beyond culture, and way beyond habits, and way beyond conditioning. So, pretty well that's what I want to say. I think we just need to keep a sense of respect to something radical in the Dharma and keep respecting that. It's very precious. And Lo Mu Van Mei Lav can easily get lost by tendencies to turn things into hierarchies and structures and orthodoxies. And so it's just an invitation to you. Keep your eyes open. We're in a radical place. Let's stay there. So that's what I want to say, and this is now a chance for us, all of us, to begin to find our voice. And I'll move to you, Leela, for that.